The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Hour three underway now, 9 minutes past 11 o'clock, the 24th morning of the month of May, rapidly approaching the month of Groom. I wish we could go straight into July and skip the month of Groom all together. But that's where we are in the year of our Lord, 2023. Great conversation last hour with Josh Hammer, and I expect an even better conversation now with this guy who is approaching the studio right now with a massive crowd of people following him. He, of course, is... Yeah, there they are. Jack Windsor's Facebook fans all joining us now on Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Legions of them. Jack Windsor, good morning, my man. How are you?
Bob, I'm super fantastic. You know, when you do that, what I envision is Donald Trump. You know how he stands at the side of the stage and he points at people, does the thumbs up, pumps the fist.
Well, that's great.
I love that.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. That's pretty good imagery. Jack Windsor is the founder and the editor-in-chief of the Ohio Press Network, and he is also my podcast host of Talking Smack with Bob and Jack, even though we have not yet relaunched after a bit of an extended absence. It's coming back. Jack Windsor, we got a lot to do today. You have done great reporting on the Ohio Press Network page of Olentangy Public Schools, among other schools. There's a new story that we need to discuss here, and that is the fact that Olentangy is now punishing students for, quote, misgendering their peers. First of all, I could stop there and say this is an outrage. No child should be forced to say something they do not believe or do not want to say per the First Amendment. The First Amendment not only protects speech, it also protects you from having to say something you don't want to. I could stop right there, but this story, at least this headline goes, This story goes even further. This school district is punishing students if they misgender their peers, even if it happens at home. They want to control the lives of these kids even when they are not under teacher or school administrator supervision. Take it from there.
Yeah, so the group, and first of all, I'm going to go all the way back, and I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but we've written about several school districts. Olentangy happens to be one of those that's been in our crosshairs for quite some time, as well as Hilliard City Schools. Both of those school districts now find themselves in federal court. And this is a pretty significant issue. It is brought by Parents Defending Education. They're a national nonprofit membership association that they say empowers concerned citizens to become more engaged in America's education system. Now, they filed a lawsuit against the school district in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio. And you hit it. There are really three major components. There's the First Amendment issue, which is if, let's say, my daughter says to Michelle, who wants to be called Mike, no, your name's Michelle, I'm going to call you Michelle, she could be in trouble for that, essentially, because the school, based on what the lawsuit alleges, has rules, surrounding the gender identity of a student being a protected class. So that would essentially, they're saying that violates the girl's First Amendment right to say, no, I'm going to call you Michelle, not Mike. But it also says what you said, Bob, you can't compel a student to say something that isn't true. So if they say, listen, you're going to call her Mike or else, and then she says, okay, fine, I'll call you Mike because I don't want to get suspended, right? I don't want to get in trouble. That's forcing compelled speech. And, oh, by the way, the 14th Amendment is the right of a parent to bring up their kid and have equal access to laws and civil liberties. And in some instances, this lawsuit alleges that if a student, let's say Google Chrome pad or something, contains information that would go against their, quote, anti-harassment policy, then that student and the parents could be in hot water.
That's astounding. According to the report that I'm looking at, too, the district student code of conduct lists transgender identity as a protected group, as you mentioned, and even requires students to use the preferred pronoun. So if your daughter calls Michelle instead of Mike, and then maybe and then maybe she says, just because I don't want to get in trouble, I'll say Mike. But then inadvertently even says she, because she's looking at a girl. And says, yeah, but she did that, or she said this, or her, or whatever. She's going to be in trouble yet again. So they're going to force these kids under punishment. Yeah. What kind of punishments are they talking about, Jack?
Suspension and expulsion, ultimately. And depending on how far... So this all ties back to Joe Biden's administration. And, you know, he's trying to cram everything under that Title IX protection umbrella. So gender, identity, sexual preference, those types of things. And so they, meaning the departments of education nationally, and I think even statewide, they have what are called Title IX officers, right? So there's suspension, there's expulsion, and then there is some concern that those Title IX officers could go to some reporting body and say, hey, you know, that Windsor family, they're alt-right. They're racist Christians. They hate transgenders. They're against, quote, affirming care. You know, you need to look into them. And so it could become one of those harassment cases. Who knows how far it'll go? All of these things are actually being worked out in court right now. But suspension and expulsion on its own, by the way, is a big deal. If you have a kid who says, no, you know, on the farm, we turn the cat over. It has a thing or it doesn't. So it's a boy or a girl. And that's how I'm going to treat my peers. That child could potentially get in trouble. And that is a big issue. Now, here's the other one. Okay. Gender identity support plans. I want to mention this real quick. The lawsuit alleges, and we've uncovered in our report, and another reporter in Columbus uncovered this, that schools can actually initiate a conversation with a student and begin the process of gender identity support plans. That first meeting can be arranged internally with the people and with the student without parental approval. And so the lawsuit's saying, can't pass go, can't collect $200. Parents need to be looped into this from the get-go.
According to the report, Jack, the lawsuit was filed against Olden Tangi by an advocacy group, a parents' rights group called Parents Defending Education. And according to them, the school district prioritizes discussions of gender identity over other issues, encourages, this is where you were just talking about, teachers to ask, to initiate the discussions, to ask about students' gender identities in class, has flags related to sexual orientation and gender identity plastered all over the hallways and classrooms, beginning in kindergarten, encourages celebrating holidays, including International Pronoun Day and Transgender Day of Visibility. By the way, why the hell do they have another day when they gave them an entire freaking month, and prioritizes events sponsored by GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. So, yeah, this isn't dealing with kids with questions. This is intentionally and openly starting the conversations and indoctrinating these kids. This is what Olden Tangi is doing. We'll watch that lawsuit very closely. Let's move now to an article that I read just yesterday in Cleveland.com. No, I take that back. I flagged it yesterday. I read it this morning in Cleveland.com about HB 183, a new bill being put forth by Republicans Beth Leer and Adam Byrd, which is covered by Cleveland.com as Ohio Republicans dive into transgender bathroom wars. And what this bill does, of course, is it requires boys to use boys' facilities, girls to use girls' facilities, because it's more than just bathrooms. It's lockers and it's shower rooms as well. What can you tell us here?
Well, you know, I read the article, Bob. And I'm going to read the second paragraph to you, and we're going to have another don't pass, go, don't collect $200 moment. The bill introduced Tuesday marks House Republicans' latest legislative attack on transgender Ohioans.
You could stop right there. You've already got me right there, but go ahead and finish the paragraph.
Well, so earlier this month, House Committee passed legislation that would block transgender students from competing in women's sports. A different House Committee is reviewing legislation that would block physicians from prescribing various gender-affirming care treatments for transgender minors. So I'm going to sit in that for a minute. I think it is intellectually dishonest to call it a legislative attack on transgender Ohioans. In fact, the bill that we're talking about, this House Bill 183, It does a couple of things. It says if you are a biological girl, you can't use the locker room, changing room, shower of a biological male, and vice versa. And if you are on an overnight with a school-sponsored function, if you're a biological girl, you can't sleep in a biological boy's space, and vice versa. So essentially it's saying if you have girl parts, then you go to a place where girls with girl parts go to change, to go to the bathroom and sleep. And here's the issue, right? In that bill, it also states that a school cannot be prohibited from creating a special restroom. So maybe they have a transgender one stall, whatever, right? Or maybe they can use the teacher's restrooms for those things. So I think it's extremely intellectually dishonest to call it an attack. It's saying that, you know, the vast majority of boys and girls, biological boys and biological girls who want to be in the same space with the same sex, they can do that. But you can have a special accommodation for, someone who is identifying as a sex other than what God gave them at birth. So I think it's important to point that out. And, where you go from there, we can kind of talk through that. But well, again,
let me follow up on what you just said. Yeah, well, yeah. That's what I wanted to follow up on. It's much, much more and much, much worse than intellectual dishonesty. It's 180 degrees away from reality. It is upside down. Yeah. Because by not passing a bill like this and allowing things to continue in schools the way they are, the people being attacked are the regular, normal kids. The ones like in the incident you described before in hypothetical with your daughter. A daughter who has to call a biological female a male name and a male pronoun or a made-up pronoun and has to engage in seeing the opposite sex body parts in their places of privacy, like restrooms, locker rooms, and showers. The idea that this is an attack on transgender Ohioans, as this Jake Zuckerman for Cleveland.com wrote this, calling it an attack on transgender Ohioans to not have this, is an attack on all of the other students who have to change the way they speak, change what they get used to seeing, like I said, boys in girls' spaces of undress and so forth. That's who's being attacked if we don't do this. The idea that a tiny, itsy-bitsy fraction of the population should be able to change the rules for the 99% of the population on how they do things, how they've always done things, it's not just intellectually dishonest, it's just crap. It's just C-R-A-P crap. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to stay in this for a minute, because here's the crazy part. I can tell you from experience, direct experience, that last year, kids in third grade, the year before that, and even in fourth grade now, they get instruction from guidance counselors and school nurses that they are supposed to have privacy. They are allowed to ask for privacy. And then at the same time, we're telling them, well, unless a biological boy walks into the restroom, then you just, all the stuff we just taught you gets thrown out. So how do you deal with this? This is the crazy part, right? If my daughter wants to have privacy, then gal darn it, she should have privacy. And if another student who is a boy who wants to pretend to be a girl wants privacy too, then give that student his own space, or give that student the opportunity to go to a teacher's restroom. That solves both problems. Here's the crazy thing to me. If somebody that's handicapped in a wheelchair tries to go to a regular sized stall, but there's an ADA, Americans with Disability Act compliant stall next door, we'd go, what's the person in the wheelchair doing? There's a stall for that accommodation right there. We wouldn't call everybody else who wants to use that stall, haters of disability. We're just saying, hey, you have an accommodation, go there. But yet, for some reason, we get fried out of our minds on something like this. So, Jake Zuckerman, let's stop being intellectually dishonest. Let's stop calling it an attack, and let's call it what it is. It's respecting the privacy of all parties, and it's also honoring, you know, the Constitution, by the way.
Yeah, then there's that small matter of that. Jack, we're going to bypass the Dodgers issue because of time here, and I know you wanted to say something about the announcement today that becomes official when Ron DeSantis sits with Elon Musk on a Twitter Spaces broadcast or podcast or Twittercast or whatever the hell they're calling it, but he makes his official entry into the fray, and what say you?
I say that there are three people who are considered political figures by Harvard and the Harris poll that came out last week. And here are the top three: Elon Musk, 47, Donald Trump, 46, Ron DeSantis, 45. So one in three are going to get together and announce Ron DeSantis's race for the White House in 2024. Look, right now, Donald Trump is trouncing Ron DeSantis, trouncing him. It's not even a race. Now, our people who have been polled going, well, I'm not going to say that I would vote for DeSantis because he hasn't even entered the race. I think we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of weeks. How much is Ron DeSantis going to close that gap? I will tell you, based on what I've seen from mainstream media over the past week, the attacks on Ron DeSantis and his wife are here they come, right? I think the mainstream media is terrified.
Here they come. They've been coming since November. President Trump and his super PACs have been coming since November at Ron DeSantis in ads and in speeches.
Well, I think the mainstream media will also come, and the people who are not necessarily in the tank for Donald Trump, but in the tank for the progressives and Joe Biden. It'll be
like
interesting.
The NAACP
to see what
too, right?
Yeah, and every major news outlet out there. I mean, let's be honest. I think it'll be interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy, Ohio's native son, he's getting a ton of traction. He's in about third place right now. But look, this is a two-man race. It's going to be, to me, I think Donald Trump wins going away. That's my final prediction. And I think he wins the White House in 2024.
I don't trust this poll one iota, and there's a good reason why. And I had a guest on yesterday. I want to play this for you. I don't have a ton of time here, but I want to play about a minute and a half of this for you. I had Dave Seminara on yesterday, and we talked about the polls that show DeSantis trailing Trump by 37 points in the poll of likely voters. And he pointed out something very likely Republican voters. He pointed out something very, very important, and that is this. Listen.
Oh, absolutely. I don't worry about the polls at this stage of the game either, because first of all, you know, we have to remember, how do we elect a president? Do we elect a president based upon a nationwide popular vote? No, we do not. We elect we're going to have about 10 or 11 states that are going to decide the next election, right? And so you have to look at the state polls, number one, and you got to look at the national state polls. And unfortunately for him, I voted for him previously, but look at Trump's lack of popularity, I guess we'll say, in those swing states. You look at his favorability in Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and the key states that are actually going to decide the election, and it's bad. The news is very ugly. So, I mean, the media wants Trump to get that nomination. The Democrats are licking their chops because they've beaten this guy before, and the Republicans have had bad elections three times in a row. 2018 was a disaster, lost 41 seats in the House, then lost the Georgia runoff, right? 2020, Biden won. 2022, we were supposed to have red wave, didn't happen. They're very comfortable with Trump as the leader of the Republican Party. That's in their comfort zone. And they know that he will, if he's the nominee, the left is going to turn out like crazy. No one galvanizes liberals to the polls like him. So they want him there, right? So they're focusing on those national polls that show, you know, Trump versus DeSantis. But the important ones are the polls that show Trump 70% of the country. There was a poll about a month ago that 70% of the country doesn't want him to run for president. And it was a similar number for Biden.
Yeah. So, Jack Windsor, that part of this is true. This national poll is irrelevant because we're not voting as a nation by popular vote for our nominee. It's going to be a state-by-state situation with electoral votes being collected that way, or not electoral votes, but delegates being collected that way to cast their votes at the convention. And in the swing states that decide these things, it is not as clear-cut as one might think.
Very salient points. I know we don't have a great deal of time. I will say two things. Number one, it's very early, right? And I think the Democrats absolutely want Donald Trump to be the guy because orange man bad. I think that's actually the only way that they win. But what did Ronald Reagan say? It's a recession when it's out there. It's a depression when the bad economy hits your household. Look, 62% of Americans believe the economy is on the wrong track. Half say their financial situation is worsening. 21% say we will avoid a recession, which, by the way, will probably be knee-deep in the 24 election. And Biden's approval numbers are abysmal. Now, will Americans forget that in a year and a half? I don't know. Maybe. But Joe Biden's in trouble. And so I think if Joe Biden is beatable by Donald Trump, I think he is. And so I think if Trump gets the nomination, I don't think it's a clear-cut win for Biden. But by the way, if DeSantis wins, I think Biden gets destroyed. In fact, he may not even stay in the race.
That's a very interesting point. That's a very interesting point. And by the way, I want to go on record, which I've gone on many times already, and I'll say it again. I will fully support and endorse and campaign for whoever the nominee is. If it's Donald Trump, if it's Ron DeSantis, if it was Tim Scott or Vivek Ramaswamy. And Jack, I think every single member of that primary field should be able to say the same thing. But there's only one of them that I don't trust to say that. Do you agree?
I agree.
I think there's one individual who will not declare, "I'll support the nominee if it's not me." There's only one, and that's telling. I think that's very, very telling. Jack Windsor, great stuff. Make sure you subscribe, people, to the Ohio Press Network website. Get all kinds of more great information and analysis from Jack and his team there. Jack, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
11:30 news time. We'll come back. One more segment of calls ready at 216-901-0945 right here.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.